Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Shmir Salashim class learning. It is July the 3rd. We are learning Lilu Nishmas Tzvi Gershon Alav Hashem Ben Yoav Echanes Nesham Shehav Anali and the Merit of our Torah. Also, Zichus Refuah Bracha V'Gai Basrach Lagit V'Soch She'er Chalei Yisrael. We will begin with the Tfil Al Hadibur, please, which is in the front flap. ריבונו של עולם, יהי רצון בפניך, על רחם וחנון שתזכני היום ובכל יום לשמר פי ולשוני מלשון הרע וחילוס ועזר מלדבר אפילו על איש יחיד, וכל שכן על כל ישראל, או על חלק מהם, וכל שכן לישראל על מידותיו של הקדוש ברוך הוא, ועזר מלדבר דברי שקר חנוף ומחלוקת כעס גאווה, אונס דברים, הלבנת פנים, ליצנות וכל דיבור אסור, וזכני שלא לדבר, כי אם דבר הצורך לענייני גופי ונפשי וכל מעשי ודיבורי לשם. So just a point to point out, we say in the Tefillah Al Hadibur, Vezar Mledabra Fi Al Ish Yachid, I shouldn't talk about one person, Makal Shekhin Al Kai, so I shouldn't talk about Knesset, so I'll look, oh, Achelik Mem, or I shouldn't talk about a portion of them. So I know there's been a lot in the news now about Jews, specifically from Jews, certainly elements that just the publicity, Terbo Chil Hashem. What's interesting is I really haven't read anything about it. I didn't really see articles on it, I didn't read about it, I didn't see the pictures of the people. So, you know, at one point I thought, oh, maybe I should just go, you know, onto the news sites and see what's going on. People are talking, and then I thought, why am I going to go do that? Like, what is it going to help me? What do I need to read about this for? Why do I need to see the pictures of these people being taken out of their house in handcuffs? Why does it benefit me to go online to read about them? So just the perspective to keep in mind, when we talk about not speaking about a single person, or on Kaiso, or on a portion of them, if I'm not no gay with them, and it's not hurting me, why do I need to go read Lashon Hara about other people, even if it's not Lashon Hara, if it's public knowledge, how would it be classified halachically? I don't know, but just to have a sensitivity to not talking about people or wanting to know about people, to investigate into people's lives beyond the Ma'idal and Amos if it has no bearing on me. So it's just a point to keep in mind. I'm not saying what if it affects us or if it affects our children, etc., but just to know, we should have a sensitivity to that. That what do I need to know? Certainly, if you found the article and you happen to be in a Jewish newsstand, you see it, but just to keep in mind, in terms of perhaps forwarding the article, what is the point of, you know, we just click, 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 click. We're so not used to certain sensitivity in not only accessing information, but in, bless you, in sharing that information, bless you. So I think that's also an added perspective. You know, I read the Jewish sites. So let's say you're on the Jewish sites and you see the article and you read it. Does it need to be forwarded from you? You know, people will find information, but does it need to come from you? Was that really little Alice, or was it just a smear? So it's just, again, I'm not talking about what was done or what wasn't done. I don't even know the full details. Again, I haven't read one article on it. Bless you. But it's just a perspective to keep in mind. Okay, so I think that that's something to keep in mind. And again, think before you forward. Okay. So last time I said we were going to do this Ramban inside. I remember I just quoted a pasuk from the phrase from the end of the Ramban, but since I said we were going to do it and it's in regard to specifically Lashon Hara, I would like to begin with this, please. Okay. I actually have a lot of other material prepared, but I did say we will start with this, so I would like to. No, I said I meant the last time. I don't know what I said. Whatever, so let's do it. In the book of Devarim, the Pasuk tells us, Yishamer b'nei gad tzaraz, you should guard yourself from the affliction of tzaraz, to guard yourself ma'o, to do everything that the Kohanim teach you. Yoru is from mo'ra, Torah, hora, instruct you, like they have been commanded, so you shall do. So you should be careful when it comes to tzaraz, make sure you go to the Kohanim, they diagnose this, they treat it, etc. And then the very next Pasuk, right after, tells me about negat tzaraz, Zachar sashar sa Hashem al-kechel Miriam, remember what Hashem did to Miriam, Miriam Parshas Chukas, she just died in last week's parasha, but Derech Betzeis from Mitzrayim, on the way I'm coming out of Egypt. So let's look at the Ramban together. Zechar Sashar Sashal Makachal Miriam. In Basalihi Zahar Shalot Tilaka Bitzaras. What is the juxtaposition the Ramban is saying between Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Tes? Pasuk Ches is telling me about Negat Tzaras and the Kohanim and the Levim, and Pasuk Tes is telling me about Miriam. So if you want to be careful, you should not be stricken with Tzaras. The Ramban is explaining the two psukim that occur one after another. Lo tisaper lashon hara. You should not speak lashon hara. That's lashon Rashi. V'lefi dati shehi mitzvas ase mamash. The Ramban says, and not everyone counts the mitzvahs the same. According to the Ramban, it is a mitzvas ase mamash. And I write mitzvas ase kimo. Just like it's a mitzvah ase to remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. Just like it's a mitzvah to remember the day that you left Egypt. We say in Kriya Shema, we talk about Amitzias Mitzrayim every day. Just like it's a mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to you, they are all mitzvos. Im kein gam zeh kamosim. This too, remember what happened to Miriam, is a mitzvah like Shabbos, like Zechira Shabbos, like Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, like Zechiras Amalek. This is a mitzvah mamish. V'yihazara miledaber lashon hara. So what is the mitzvah of remembering what happened to Miriam? It is a azhara from speaking lashon hara. Yitzava b'mitzvos ase sheniskara onesh hagadol she'asa sham litzadekes hanaviyah. Look at this. We are commanded with this mitzvah that we should remember the great punishment that Hashem did. She was a tzaddikas. She was a prophetess. She only spoke about him to do chasid with him. She thought he was doing something wrong, right? He shouldn't have separated from his wife. When her parents separated, she told her father, why did he separate? She was trying to do gemilas chasadim. Asher ahavaso kenafsha. How much did she love Moshe Rabbeinu? Like her own soul, v'lo dibra b'fanav, and she didn't speak in front of him, she'yivo, she didn't want to embarrass him, v'lo v'pnei rabim, she didn't make a public announcement and broadcast it on the news, rak b'ino l'v'inachea, she only spoke privately, her to her brother, hakadosh b'tzaneah, she did it with holiness, with tzaneah, l'tznias, what does it mean? Quietly, but privately. All her good works were of no salvation to her. They didn't, meaning her good intentions. All of her good intentions and her good deeds that she spoke privately, that she didn't broadcast it, that she just went to Aaron, that she was for Gemilas Chasid, didn't help her. Quotes a pasuk, also you, if you sit with your brother and speak about the son of your mother, titein dofi lo tinatzal. That's the Sifri. The Sifri says, even if you sit and you talk, not going to help you. Lo tinatzal, you won't be saved. Kishu omer lo. So you understand? No, everything did not help her when Hashem came and she was punished. She had good intentions, she was a Nevi'ah, she was a Tzadekes, lo tenatzah. The bottom line is, if she spoke Lashon Hara, she will not be saved. And then the Ramban continues and he says, Harei Masha Kasu B'Torah, I'm after the, see where it says B'chukosa in brackets? That's where we're up to. Kishahu, last word on that line. Everyone sees where I am? Yes? No? Okay. Kishahu omer velo tasu kol mitzvos ha'ela. When it says in the pasuk, you should not do all these mitzvos. Harei masha kasu b'torah amar. What's written in the Torah is already said. Im kein lama nemar v'im lo tishmuli. So why does he need to say, if you will not listen to me? He tells me straight out what I shall not do. So what's added by if you should not listen to me? So Rashi famously says there in B'chukosa, lios amelim b'torah. You have to work very hard when it comes to acquired Torah. You know, the outright mitzvos Hashem tells us, do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. So what do you mean if you will listen? Listen to me. You already told me all the mitzvahs I'm supposed to do. So what are you adding by if you will listen to me? You should be amel in Torah. You should toil in Torah. The kenu omer zachar semer shabbos kachol. So now, when it says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, yochal bilvav bilibecha, could be in your heart. Kishu omer shamar, harei shmir slave. Is everyone understanding? The Ramban is now going to say, what's the difference between zachar and shamar? Yes, you with me? Questions? Say no. Good. What's the difference between Zachar and Shamar? By Shabbos, it says Zachar, Shamar, Shabbos, Kachar. It says Shamar, Shamar, Shabbos. Keep your finger on the place and just look up to the two Psukim. Note, Devarim 24:8, Pasuk Ha says He Shamar, and Pasuk Ta says Zachar. Again, you have the same lashon of Zachar and Shamar by Miriam that you have by Shabbos. So what is the distinction or the differentiation between Zachar and Shamar? Shamar is Shmir Salev. Shamar means to remember it in your heart. Amar ha, Amar, ma ani mekayim zachar. So what zachar? Shatehe shona beficha. Oh, look at this. It's an added element. It's not just to remember it in your mind and in your heart, to guard the matter in your mind. That zachar is to have it at the level of your mouth. V'chein hu omer zachar al tishkach. V'chein hu omer zachar sashor sasham lakech lamirim. Yachal belibcha kishu omer hishamar b'nega tzoras lishmar me'ovel aso. Sarei shmir salev. It could be when it says, remember what happened to Miriam, it's telling me to guard it in my heart. But it already told me, Hishamar b'nega tzoras. That's guarding it in my heart. Ma'ani mekayim zachar shatei shona beficha. Look at this. It should be regular in your mouth. You should review Shona, Mishana, Mishnah Torah. You should review the halachos in your mouth. So Hishamer is to remember inside, to remember in your heart, to remember in your mind. Do I really need to say this? Do I really need to forward this article? Do I really need to read this? Do I really need to discuss this? Hishamer is in your heart. And then Zachar is at the level of your mouth. So there's two different distinctions or two different classifications or two different components. That's what I'm looking for. Two different components to these mitzvahs. There's the Zachar and the Shamer. The Shamer is the Libcha. Where is it? In your heart, contemplate for a split second before you do that action, before you say, should I really do this? Should I really forward this? On the other hand, Zachar is where? Yeah. At the level of your mouth. That's like by Amalek, but by Amalek it says, Lo Tishkach, that's in your heart. Ma'ani Mekayim Zachar, it should be in your mouth. Okay, 1 second. So he says that that's Shamar and Zachar, okay? Go to Umikan. The fifth line from the bottom, please. What I skipped is that he reiterates that by Miriam, the Shamar is in your heart and the Zachar is in your mouth. You see where it says Mikan, five lines up. Umikan nira shura basenu yasu oso mitzvah. And from here we can understand that the rabbis count this in regard to Miriam as a mitzvah. Lo sipur ve'etza bilvad. Look at this. He's telling you, it's not a nice story. It's not a narrative. It's not a piece of advice to remember what happened to Miriam. Li natsa minag negaim, to save yourself from negatzaras. It's an actual mitzvah. How could it be that slanderous speech, which is equal to bloodshed, lo tehebo betorah lo tase gamar? How could it be, he says, that it wouldn't be an absolute lo tase, hishamer lo tase, or lav haba mikla aser, or lo tase that comes from an aser? So he's saying to those who don't count, Zachar es asher sasham lakechel miriam, it's one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. What's the Ramban saying? It's equal to Shvi Chastamim. The Torah tells me lo tirtzach. So how could a mitzvah, how can an inyan, a matter that is equal to murder, not be counted as a you shall not do this? It's not possible. Here we have a great warning. To stay away. Ben begalui, whether in public. Ben beseser, whether in private. Look at this. Ben bemiskavin lahazik ulahavzos, whether you have intention to cause damage and shame. Ben she'em miskavin lahazik la, whether you don't have any intention to cause damage. So look what he's saying. If your words, if your lashon hara, if your speech causes pain and shame and it wasn't your intention, you're still over the mitzvah. It's very scary. Vizo mitzvos mikal tariyag mitzvos. And this is absolutely one of the 630 mitzvos de Araisa. V'shachach habal halachas kudos. He says that the halachas kudos, which is an early halacha compendium, an early halachic work, forgot to count it. And everyone who counts the mitzvahs like the Baal Halachos Gedolos and forgets to count this as one of the mitzvahs is making a mistake, says Ramban. How could it be that something that's equal to murder is not a mitzvah? And he shows by demonstrating that we have Shamar and Zachar, just like by Shabbos we have Shamar and Zachar. So Shamar is the internal in your heart. You should guard it. You should know about it. You should remember. And Zachar is a level beyond that. So before it enters breath, you should speak about it. You should review the halachos. You should learn about it. You have to make sure that it shouldn't come out here as well. By talking about it, you can hopefully prevent yourself by talking about the mitzvahs and the halachos in a positive way and in a constructive Torahic way, then hopefully you can prevent yourself from speaking in a negative way. So use the same tool for positive to prevent the negative. Right? I'm sure that I find very much that our learning helps me tremendously. That for example, that this situation that's going on in the news, it's one example of something that perhaps before I would have behaved in a different fashion. You know, thought would have crossed my mind. Maybe I should go read some articles. Maybe I really do need to know the details. So it helps me very, very much. Something just happened yesterday with my husband. He told me so-and-so asked him a certain question in shul, and I was going to say something, whatever, personal question, and I just didn't say anything. So it should be helping you, I hope. And the words of the Torah are Chaim, and if we stick to them, it's Chaim Kulcham Hayim. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, so we're on page 58, please. Right, Alyssa? Mm-hmm.
V'hinei adu mimasha amar hakasuf.
ועציבינו השם מעשוס לטוב, אנו כל ימים לחייסינו כיום, אז זה האפני, just say חיים כל חמיים. Look at the very next passage we're reading. It is known from what the Torah tells us. I must add to Dvarim, unbelievable, I can't believe we're towards the end of Bog Midbar already. Ve'atzivenu Hashem, Hashem commanded us to do all these things. Why is the point of what Hashem commanded us to do? L'tov lanu kol hayamim, to be good for us all days. The Torah is not, doesn't benefit Hashem. That's what the Chavetz Chaim is going to go on to explain. The Torah is not for God's benefit, the Torah is for our benefit. L'chayoseinu kol hayamazah. So when we finished, wrapped up this piece of the Ramban, I said, Chayim kol hayamim. And that really is. It's to give you life like the stain. If you look at the pasuk, beautiful. L'chayoseinu kahayam hazah. What's interesting is we could look at that pasuk as saying, every day that you keep Torah, you get chiyus on that very day. Hayam hazah. It's a new life. It's a new rejuvenation. It's a new chayim every single day that you keep Torah. It's not a continuation of your old day. Every day is a mechadish v'tuv b'chol yom tamid. Every day of your life in Torah, every day of your life in mitzvahs, every day in your life in a melus for Torah. So the Ramban speaks about a melus for Torah. That is chayoseinu kahayim hazeh. Today you have a new life. Tomorrow you have a new life. It's not a continuation. It's an unbelievable, powerful thought. V'hainu shala kosh baruchu ein nogei davar zakal. Kosh baruchu, he's not nogei b'davar. He doesn't benefit. If you do the mitzvah, so who benefits? You benefit. The only thing we can give a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is our Kiddush Hashem. The only thing we can give a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which should not be minimized, is our Kiddush Hashem, and lahafach of that, of course, is Chilul Hashem. And that is very dangerous. It's interesting, I was just talking to the kids. I don't remember why I came up, but I was telling them, for Chilul Hashem, nothing is mechaper. There's only kapara fu misa for Chilul Hashem. According to the Rambam, Maimonides, Moshe's sin was that he screams at the people, but he uses the lashon shimuna hamarim. He became angry at the people. It has nothing to do with hitting the rock. So he became angry at the people. The Rambam says it constitutes a person of his level to become angry where there is no room for anger. Says the Rambam constitutes a chilul Hashem. So if the only kapara for chilul Hashem is misa, then it sort of makes sense that Moshe's, again, I'm quoting the Ramban. Then it makes sense. It's still difficult to understand, but if it was a chilul Hashem, according to the Rambam, for chilul Hashem there's no kapara. Especially someone on Moshe's level. Again, very hard to say these things about Moshe Rabbeinu, so the only quote to sources, if there's no kapara for chilul Hashem. Very scary. So I was just talking to the kids, so one of the boys says there's teshuva for everything. It was very cute. He says there's teshuva for everything, but we have to keep in mind that for chilul Hashem, it's not so pasha. So the only thing we can give Hashem, so to speak, is a kiddush Hashem and how we live our lives. But he doesn't have benefit from when I do the mitzvah. I get benefit from when I do the mitzvah. Never mind olam haza, I get olam haba. U'kmosha amar ha'kasuv im tzedakta matite lo. The pasuk says in Eve, if you've gained righteousness, what is Hashem being given? Matite lo, what are you giving to Hashem? If you're a tzaddik, what does Hashem get? If you do all the mitzvahs, what does Hashem doesn't need us? I can't hear.
So happy.
Oh, and what did he say?
Nachas.
What?
Nachas. Oh,
yeah. So, unbelievable, you guys, ladies, are you read the end of the paragraphs or not? Yeah. Okay, so stay, bear with us.
I would say it makes him happy. You know,
what?
The whole purpose of De Hashem, we do everything for Hashem. He doesn't need any of us, but when we do something right, the reason why he'll reward you like that, because he's happy, he's proud of you. Like a parent wants to be proud of their child, so he wants to be proud of us. He gets happiness. If we do the right thing, it make him happy.
So that comes from making a kiddush Hashem, doing the right thing. Right. So let's see how the Chavetz Chaim finishes. So let's see how the Chavetz Chaim finishes the paragraph, please. V'chol mitzvah shebetor hein rak lahitiv lanu kol yamim. All the mitzvahs in the Torah, it's to do good for us all our days. V'kosh baruch hu einu makabel mizeh. Kosh baruch hu gets nothing from us. Rak, you, I think, actually used this word. Nachas she'asinu ritzono. What does he get? It gives him nachas that we have done. Who? Alyssa used the word? Oh. It gives Hashem nachas that we have done his will. L'kamosha amu chazal, and chazal say in Sifrei, ala pasuk, reach nichoach l'Hashem. If you look in the beginning of Vayikra, when it's talking about the karbanos, repeatedly it says that the karbanos are reach nichoach l'Hashem. And how would we translate, reach nichoach l'Hashem? A pleasant fragrance to Hashem. And Rashi says repeatedly in the beginning of Vayikra, nachas ruach lefanai. What does it mean, a pleasing fragrance to Hashem? It gives nachas ruach. How you literally translate nachas ruach, pleasurable gratification, that's not the right thing, gives a sense of nachas ruach, a wind of nachas, so to speak. Sha'amarati v'nasa ritzoni. Shem says, what does Hashem get? Like you ladies were explaining without reading the end of the paragraph. Hashem gets nachas. He commanded, amarti v'na'aseh ritzoni. And when his will is done, it brings a sense of nachas, so to speak, to Hashem. Not that we can benefit him in any way, but by living our Torah mitzvahs, by doing ratzon Hashem, by breaking my will for his will, by living al kiddush Hashem, it gives nachas to Hashem. So I want to talk about these words, reich nichoach l'Hashem, for a few minutes. It's something that we began to explore in Shari class a few weeks ago, but I'm going to develop it with further ideas now. It's something very, very interesting. Why do we talk about it being a pleasing fragrance to Hashem? This is in regard to the korbanos. Now, we don't have korbanos anymore. Rachman Atzan, we're coming up to mourning for Korban Beis HaMikdash. The Shuvah Sarva Tem is next week. Next week begins the 3 weeks, soon will be the 9 days. Everyone talks about Melechek meals, I understand, but we should also be talking about why we're mourning and why we're here in the first place. And in the society we live, there is a plethora of dairy. Somehow it's become a time of marketing, Melechek food, which is very nice. But we should keep in mind that it's supposed to be not going over the top. It's supposed to be a time of mourning. And that's why there were halachos instituted. Don't drink wine. Don't eat meat. It's supposed to be a time of lesser enjoyment. Also, just to shkaf, I'm not saying we should starve our families. Please. Chas v'shalom. Hashem wants us to eat. We should eat. But the same amount of time that we put into planning, appearing on the WhatsApp groups, and everyone's talking about dairy recipes, melechek, melechek. Maybe the same amount of time we should put into melechek should be put into morning korban based on mikdash. Then we wouldn't have to only eat melechek. It's just that. You don't have to agree with me. It's just some food for thought. Pun intended. It wasn't really intended till I said it. Okay. So we don't have korbanos anymore. Korbanos are reich nichoach lefanai. Repeatedly we're told at the beginning of Vayikra, pleasing fragrance. And so before me says, Rashi sha'amarti v'nasa ritoni. Why is it described as a pleasing fragrance for Hashem? Today we don't have korbanos, it takes the place of korbanos. Chazal tells us, of course, is our tefilos. Prayer takes the prayer, because they're both avoda. The korbanos are avoda Hashem, and davening is also ezehi avoda shebaleiv, so he tefila. Tefila is avoda, korbanos are avoda. That's why Yitzchak was the ish tefila. The Avos all represented a different koach. Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is tefillah, Yaakov is Torah. Why? Because Yitzchak was the korban. But after the korban, the Torah tells us so much about his davening. When the shidduch comes, what's he doing? Davening. When she can't have children, beginning of parachaf, hey, vayater Yitzchak l'ashem l'nochach ishto ki akari. What's he doing? Davening. So much of Yitzchak transfers the Akedah experience, the Korban experience, the Mizbeach experience to the Tefillah experience. So we approach Hashem through Tefillah. So when we do Hashem's Ratzon, it's Reich Nichoach. Why a pleasing fragrance before Hashem? So this is very, very interesting. Bear with me for a few minutes, please. The B'nai Yisachar explains, and I never knew why we do Besamim at Havdalah. Right? So our question is, why is it Reich Nichoach before Hashem? And now let's go through what is the godless of scent? So some of these thoughts I have said before, but I'm going to add on. Did you hear me speak about it before? Because you're smiling. Okay, so bear with me. I'm going to add things that we didn't say before. The B'nai Yisachar says that... So go ahead. Why do we use... No, tell us. Why do we use Besamim and Havdalah?
No, you can go ahead.
I can't hear.
You can say it.
I'm not upset. I don't care.
No,
I'm happy.
No, I want to hear you say it.
Okay, so... It was the only sense that was not involved in the first sin. If you look by the first sin, the beginning of Perek Gimel, Abereshis, Vatei Isha Kitov Eitz Lamachal. The woman sees, she uses a sense of sight. It's good Lamachal to eat. Vatikach Mipri Vatochal, she uses her sense of sight. She uses her sense of taste, mouth. She uses her sense of hearing when she engages the nachas in conversation, and he pushes her against the tree. That's what Rashi tells us, and she touches it. The only sense, right? Did I get all the senses? Sight, yeah. Hearing, taste, touch. She uses all the senses, except, says the B'nai Yisachar, smell. It's not involved in the first sin. So why do we have Besamim by Havdalah? We know that our neshama Yaseira, our extra neshama, is leaving, so to speak. So we want to revive our neshama that remains. We feel bad. We're losing that extra sense of connection to Hashem. So we smell besamim. Why, dafka, do we please the sense of smell? Because it wasn't tainted in the first sin. It's the purest connection. It remains the purest connection to Akash Baruch Hu. Sight was tainted. Touch was tainted. Hearing was tainted. Taste, mouth, speech was tainted. They were all tainted by Chava. She wasn't called Chava. She was called the Isha, except for smell. And if you know, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put our neshamas into us in the first place? Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. Ve'itzir Shalem Hashem Elokim Esu Adama Afar Min HaAdama. That's from the earth. And how do we get our neshama? Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. It blew through our nostrils. Once again, the reference to? Where do we get our neshama from? The nose. So it's interesting that the same mode through which we received our neshamas remained untainted by the first sin. Just to put it out there, it's fascinating to contemplate. We speak about Nadav and Abihu being very great tzaddikim. How did they die?
I can't hear you. Fire.
Two threads of fire entered their nostrils and took their neshamas. So it's a very pure medium. The nose, it was never tainted, the sense of smell. So it's very pure. So to revive your neshama yisera, what do? You smell besam. No, to revive your remaining neshama, because the neshama yisera leaves, you want an extra connection to Hashem. So you smell besam. Mida keneged mida. Hashem pays us back measure for measure. It works both for good and not for good. So mida keneged mida. What does Hashem do? If sense is the purest connection... the sense of smell or scent or fragrance is the purest connection to Hashem. So what do we do? What does He do? He says, okay, so when you offer karbanos, I will smell your karbanos. It could say, I could hear you. It does say, I will hear it too. But davka, by the way, rech nicholach. So Hashem is saying, mida keneged mida, you left your sense of smell untainted. Therefore, I will smell your pleasing karbanos. This signifies acceptance by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Clear? What I wanted to say is, do I remember what I wanted to say? Yes. I want to point out something very, very interesting before we go on. When you think about sin, bless you, when you think about what induces you or what convinces you to sin, the sense of smell is very rarely the primary catalyst for sin. The eyes, lo sasu achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem asher atem zonim achareihem l'man tizku. It's the end of Parsha Shlach. Of course, it's also said in Shema, you shall not spy after your lo sasu achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem, your heart and your eyes. And Rashi says, though, the heart and the eyes are the gateway to sin. The eye sees, the heart desire, the body runs to sin. When you think about sin, it's very rarely the sense of smell that induces us or convinces us to sin. Touch, yes. Sight, for sure. Hearing, music we shouldn't be listening to. Speech we shouldn't be listening to, ladies. Conversations we shouldn't be involved in, lashon hara conversations. Hearing will get us to sin. The mouth, speech, ma'achalos asuros. Physical relationships, chas v'sham, a person should not be in. The mouth will become involved in sin. The ears are a gateway to sin. The eyes are a gateway to sin. And the hands are a gateway to sin.
And it's only when you smell food.
Right, okay.
Time.
If you think, so smell food. I have a hard time hearing that because it is much easier to become convinced to do the other sins they smell food. Who's going to smell McDonald's cheeseburger, I'm being serious, and say, oh, I have to run to do a sin? I'm serious.
I'm not me, but there are people that say it smells so good. Like they're starving, they're in the middle of some place, they don't have any food, there's no fresh food to be found. They smell something and they can taste something.
Have a good day. It could be, but it's hard for me to hear that that's on the same level. The sense of smell for food is on the same levels. When I think of sight or hearing or touch, I think of arayos. I mean, I'm talking about like Yarugval Yavar, which is Rahman al-San, so prevalent in our society. Relationships that a person should not be involved in. It's very hard to see that scent is strong. And you could tell me the woman wears perfume. It's not the gateway to sin, the same way that provocative clothing, sight, the physical touch between two people, hearing lashon hara. I have a hard time hearing that's on the same level as a smell.
I was saying, I just, you know, I had to eat that tray because it smelled so good. I've heard it before. That's why I'm like,
Okay, I'm saying that I think that for people on that level, they're already on a path of sin from their other senses. Nobody who's other set, I don't think that the nose is the gateway to sin. That's what I was saying. Okay. The same way that the other senses. I could be wrong. I haven't done a study on this. But when you think of how a Jew lives their life, the nose does not seem to be a gateway to sin like the other senses, like touch, like sight. Why do we have to protect our eyes from what we see? Why do we have to not look at schmutz? Why do we not have to hear a lashon hara? Why do we have to be careful about what we touch? And even a husband and wife have to be careful about when they touch, not when they smell. I don't know. I just have a hard time hearing that. I don't think. Again, I haven't done a study. I'm not an expert on smell. I could be wrong for sure. Seems to be, when you look at the way we live, that I have a hard time hearing that. So now what I want to tell you is, when I was preparing this, this brought to mind Parshas Toldos. Now it's interesting, as we mentioned, Yitzchak is the man of tefillah, and it brought to mind Parshas Toldos, because when Rivka arranges the trickery, however you understand it, we're not even getting into it right now, when Rivka arranges the trickery that who should get the brachos, not Esav, Chas v'Shalom, but Yaakov should get the brachos. Of course, Yaakov should get the brachos. So, Vayomer, and Yitzchak said to Yaakov, who he does or does not know, according to different opinions, who the real one really is. According to many opinions, he really does know it's Yaakov. I heard a beautiful word on that. I told you, when his father says he doesn't know who it is, and he says, see, Vayigash Yaakov el Yitzchak, Avi Vayimu Shehu, he feels him, HaKolko Yaakov, Yedayim Yedei Esav. So I heard, I don't remember who said it, but of course he knew who it was. He knew it was Yaakov Avinu, who was giving him a double bracha. HaKolko Yaakov, actually this week's parasha Bilam, you should always tap into the power of your call. Bilam thought he could tap into power of call, didn't work very well. It's our koch of call. HaKolko Yaakov, the voice Yaakov, Yedayim Yedei Esav. You should always have the call of Yaakov, but sometimes you need the strength of an Esav in your hand. Sometimes you need to be strong to defend yourself, to fight back. Okay. So, come close to me, I will eat from your trapping, so that my soul will bless you. And he came close, and he ate, and he brings him wine, and he drinks. Vayomer Elav Yitzchak Aviv, and Yitzchak, his father, says, Gishana, come close, Ukshali Bini, kiss me, my son. Vayigash, Vayishakul, he comes close, he kisses him. Does anyone know what it says next? Or remember what happens next, even if you remember the lashon?
He kisses him, doesn't he?
I can't hear you.
He kisses him.
Vayarech esreach begadav. Yitzchak smells the smell of his clothing. Then, vayivarchehu, he blesses him. Vayomer re'eh reach b'ni. Wow, see, the smell of my son. Look at this reference to. This is like such a climactic moment in the destiny of Knesset Israel. Yaakov, the Bechir Shabbos, has to get the brachos. Reach b'ni k'reach sada. The smell of my son is like the smell of the field that Hashem has blessed. So Rashi says there, V'alo ein reach ra yoser m'sheta v'izim. How could he say that Yaakov smells good? He's wearing goat hairs. Goat hairs stinks. Ala melameh shenichnas imo reach gan eden. What came in with Yaakov when he came to be blessed and Yitzchak smelled this? Gan Eden. Why is that so powerful? Because what's that a reference to now with our understanding? That's why I told you I'm going to add a lot of ours onto what you once heard me say about the B'nai Yisachar and Havdalah and Besamim. Why is that such an unbelievable Ha'ara? He smelled Gan Eden because what in Gan Eden remained untended? Doesn't say he saw Gan Eden. He heard the winds of Gan Eden. He felt something about Gan Eden. But rather, he smelled Gan Eden. Why? Because even Gan Eden became... The environment of Gan Eden became tainted by the first sin. But what aspect of Gan Eden remained untainted?
Smell.
So what did Yitzchak smell with his tzaddik son, the Yaakov Ish Tam Yosheva Ohalim, the man of Torah who had passed on the Mesorah that was established by Avraham Avinu? What did he do? What did he notice? A certain smell. What smell was it? The reich of Gan Eden. It's our closest connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, Rashi says, what scent of the field? Shanasam bo reich tov. Hashem gave it a good smell. What smell? Zeh sedei tapuchim. This is a field of apples. So I'll tell you that the footnote says this is also an allusion to the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden, which is called a field of apples in Kabbalistic terms. So there's something very powerful about our untainted sense of smell. And that is why, what are we all talking about? Remember what we're talking about? Reach nichoch laHashem, nachas ruach alfani, sh'amarti v'nasa ritzoni. We said that, what can we give Hashem? We can't give Hashem anything. We can't give Hashem money, chas v'shalom. It's ludicrous to even say this. We can't give Hashem a good meal. talking about food and smell. What can we give Hashem? Only our service. And what benefit does he have from our mitzvos? Nothing except Nachas Ruach Lefanei Shamarati V'Nasa Ratzoni. And how is that Nachas Ruach explained? By smell. Why by smell? Because it's the purest sense, it's our purest connection to Ribbono Shel'olam, it's reminiscent of Gan Eden. So with that, I need to tell you the following thing from Porches Prayer. I know the time. Please don't kick me out. I know I'm not following the rules. But you have to hear this, because it's Tammuz, and we said that perhaps as much time as we go into planning our Melech HaKmiyos should be spent mourning Churban Beis HaMikdash. We're waiting for, of course, is the ultimate Yeshua. In 1777, Rav Menachem Mendel Mivitebsk, Chassidish Rabbi, I can't pronounce his last name, Menachem Mendel Mivitebsk, immigrated with many of his Talmidim to Eretz Yisrael, 1777. Although they were aware that the move would be very difficult, they were prepared to endure the many hardships, they were excited, they would attend high levels of Yerushalayim, they settled in Tzfas. At that time, Ashkenazi Jews were forbidden by the Muslims to settle in Yerushalayim. It was a poor city, Tzfas, but the residents were happy, they were thankful, they were living in Eretz Yisrael. One day, Rav Menachem Mendel was delivering a shir in his house, and they heard a shofar being blown. And they thought, Mashiach. No one got out of his seat, no one moved, they were sitting in front of their Rebbe. If he didn't get up to see Mashiach, couldn't be that Mashiach was actually here, but there were urgent knocks. A few people from the city came to Rav Menachem Mendel. What should they do? We hear the Mashiach. They were surprised when Menachem Mendel sitting there with the Gemara. It's in the middle of the shir, not as if Mashiach's there. So they blurted out, Rebbe, what should we do? We are going to greet Mashiach. We hear the loud shofar blast. What is the Rebbe going to do? Should we go greet him? His teachings, his learnings. So at that point, when Menachem Mendel got up from a seat at the table, he walked over to the window. He stuck out his head. He said, no, it's not Mashiach. But Rebbe, the sound of the shofar we're all hearing, it's the person blowing the shofar. True, he's blowing beautifully, but Mashiach is not here. May he come speedily in our days, Rabbi Menachem Mendel sat down to continue teaching his Talmid. Rebbe, we're not questioning if you say Mashiach's not here, then Mashiach's not here. But why did you go to the window and stick your head outside? What was Rebbe looking for? I went to the window. You know why? Because when Mashiach comes, he'll bring with him a fragrance. A beautiful fragrance of intense kedusha that will permeate everything. I went to the window to smell. I'm not making this up. To check if the special fragrance was there. Unfortunately, I didn't smell the smell of kedusha, and that's why I know Mashiach isn't here. Rabbi said one time, Mashiach brings a special fragrance of kedusha that will permeate everything. Why did Rabbi go to the window? Couldn't Rabbi have sat where he was and he would have smelled there. He was in his house. Rabbi Menachem Mendel was quiet. But then he said, my family and I conduct our lives according to the exact dictates of halacha. Our house already has the special fragrance of kedusha. I had to go to the window to smell the outside air to see if the fragrance outside my home also smelled. Indeed, this is what we are davening for. Interestingly, the Navi Yeshayahu tells us when Mashiach comes, listen to this. He will not need to judge by what his eyes see, nor by what his ears hear. He will be able to judge us from the scent that emanates from each person. Our true essence, our attachment and connection to Hashem, will exude itself through our fragrance. So given what we are learning, it's very powerful hours and very powerful insights. And it all makes so much sense going back to the insight of Bnei Yisrael, that why all of this is connected through scent, because that was the sense that did not sin. It maintains the highest, most intrinsic levels of kedusha. It's unbelievable. So when you think about smelling, you know, they say on Yom Kippur, if you're like feeling faint, like a snuff box, mm-hmm. You should smell it. So think of the added level. And also try and think, I hope, that Ezra Sashem will enhance our Basamim experience at Havdalah every Motzei Shabbos. So let's just do a quick halacha before we leave, because then I am following the rules. Okay. Wait a minute. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
No. Can you say that?
Talk louder, please.
There's one rabbi that I go to. He's still next door to me. Rabbi Satin. I always tell you about him.
Rabbi who?
Rabbi Satin. He's the head of the Taret for boys, and his wife is a Taret for girls. And every time I used to go to their house, there was a certain scent in their house. And then when they moved, and they moved to a different house, that house had the same scent, and there was no scent in the next to neighbor's house anymore. So. Wow. And I used to always say when I walked in there, there was a certain, not kedusha, but there, you had a certain, feeling when you walked into their house. It was like a certain type of aura. And it's so funny because when they moved to a different house, so I always said, Rabbi Sutton used to say, it's not the house, it's the people that live in the house that make the house. So
isn't that powerful?
Yeah, so when you're saying that, that's what he said.
It's very powerful.
And I've heard this before. It's not the first time I've heard that type of, you know, when you walk into somebody's house and they go, it's a very homey house, or it's a certain feel in your house. It's the people that make the house, not the house that makes the person.
So I'm thinking something you said about the scent of us and what you said before about the scent of food. And again, I don't agree that it's a full gateway to sin. I think that a person has to be in a certain path. If they are eating treif because it smells so good, then already there are other senses where a gateway to sin. But I'm starting to think, because you just mentioned now the smell of the house. One of the most powerful smells to me that emanates from a home, and it's funny because when I smell, I always say it smells like Gan Eden, but now we have a whole other insight into what it means smells like Gan Eden. There's a smell of homemade challah. And homemade challah bakes, the kids come in, they smell it outside. They say it smells so good. What does it smell like? I would say it smells like an eating. So I understand that it's the smell of the mitzvah. Reishis ariso sechem chala. Parsha shlach also. Losa surachem v'avchem v'chayenechem v'shlach. So is chala in perek tes v'av pasuchaf. I believe reishis ariso sechem chala terimu tumal Hashem. It's the scent of the mitzvah that is so powerful. If anything, lahefach, the smell is what brings us to higher levels of kedusha. But now we can understand why. Because that is the untainted scent through which we got an neshama. Through even chava, as she fell down through sin. She showed there was one line she was not willing to cross. That was the gateway to the neshama. It will remain the gateway to the neshama. And therefore, Kosh Baruch says, that's most pleasing before me. When you beichal, it doesn't just smell good in Gashmus. It's such an elevated ruchnias sense of smell. And that's Mashiach. We'll know how we are, and that's how we'll know who he is. It's very powerful. Okay, helping others to improve. So let's do one page of halacha here. The first category of constructive perkpis, so we're still trying to define what is for to'alas, is to help the person about whom one is speaking. That's what the Ramban says about Miriam. If you remember, she was trying to do chesed for her brother Moshe. There is a tendency among many to ignore the misconduct of others in the favor of live and let live. They're not bothering me. I'm not doing anything, so live and let live. So now you could say to me, then why don't I want to know what's going on in that community? Isn't that a live and let live attitude? So let's get real. Can I do anything to rectify any situation over there? No. So we're talking about a situation where to us you can make an impact. Then necessarily it's not so positive to say live and let live. You know, don't ask, don't tell. That's your business. That's my business. If you can't have any bearing on the person, then there's no point in spreading lashon hara. If I know I can't affect change. But let us first understand the Torah rejects the attitude of live and let live if you can constructively help the person about whom you are speaking. You understand why he does it? It's not a contradiction to what I said in the beginning of the class. I can't help a situation, so what am I talking about it for? If you can help a situation to help, then it's a different matzav. Every person is born with character flaws. It is our mission in life to change, grow, strive for perfection, spirituality. It's a whole lifetime of avodah. Spend your whole life working on this. We all want to rid ourselves of our imperfections. Ultimately, people want to be good. What makes life so challenging is that negative character traits are blinding. Blinding. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to negotiate with Korach and his Eda. They said, "Ha'ene ha'anashim ha'ela tenaker lo na'ale. If you gouge out our eyes, we won't come up." And I believe it's from Mordechai Kamenetsky, but I could be wrong. Good points out how blinding hatred is. If you gouge out our own eyes, what were they saying? Even if we're blind to the emes, we're not coming to negotiate with you. It makes the own person blind. We either lose sight of our goals. Negative character traits enable us to lose sight of our goals, or to rationalize the point. Sometimes you can't differentiate between right or wrong. Sometimes a person comes to the point where they really are so not self-aware because of negativity within, they don't know right from wrong. One of the greatest gifts Hashem has blessed us with is companionship. I'm going to add in, lo tov heyos adam levado. It's not only talking about a spouse. It's not good for man to be alone. Asei lecha rav, knei lecha chaver. Surround yourself by positive people. Friends, family, people who are close enough to care, yet distant enough to be objective. That's a very powerful line. We need people around us who are close enough to us to care, yet distant enough to be objective. Because sometimes the people closest to us can't be objective either. To abstain from speaking up and offering reproof and guidance could deprive another of the most valuable tools for personal growth. So sometimes it's necessary for two people who are close enough to this person to love them and genuinely care, but removed enough to be objective, little else, if all other methods have failed, to speak amongst each other. Not for Lashonara, not to forward the text, not because it's a good piece of gossip, not even about personal lives. Genuinely care about that person's neshama. That person's neshama is stuck in a pattern where they can't differentiate between right and wrong. So if those two people are close enough, yet at the same time distant enough to be objective, and it's not a steer, it's not a shunhara, because they're trying to help the person, and to not would be depriving them of one of the most valuable tools for personal growth. Isn't that beautiful? One of the most valuable tools for personal growth is the right people who can help us. We italicized must get involved, and when necessary, enlist involvement of others in helping people through the struggles of life. So in that case, it would not be Lashon Hara. Again, once you met all the criteria, we discuss, you want to help them, resolve major disputes. Okay. Remaining silent when reproof is called for is not Shmir Salashon. It is depriving one's fellow of a lifeline to self-improvement. And I'm going to go even further and say, remaining silent when it's not called for is not Shmir Salashon, but could actually lead to a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. Because sometimes, Rechem HaLetzlan, there's such a dire situation, God forbid, we should never know, we should never be involved. Chalil V'cha, sometimes there's such a dire situation that if you don't step in, it could lead to terrible tragedy, and then you have an achrayah. So I once asked the Shah of Ravites, and he said to me, Al tatz de karbe, in his psak. You know what it means? Don't be such a tzaddikas. Don't be more righteous than necessary. So this is a case where we have to, is that not everything that you say about another person, as much as we say, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk, not everything classifies Lashon Hara. And if you're able to truly help someone because you're close enough to them to make an impact, now you live in another community, you want to read the news for a piece of gossip, but you can really make concrete change, then to say it's Lashon Hara is foolish. And like what Wright said, Al tatz de karbe. Don't be such a tzaddik when the situation calls for it. Okay. Anything, questions or comments?
So this is talking about when you have to talk about someone else, or when are they telling you to approach a person personally?
It seems to be when you're talking about somebody else, because it's not Lashon Hara to talk to a person themselves.
Right.
That's tochacha, that's
exactly.
Love, that's care, that's directing the person.
So
here he's specifically talking about speaking up. Offering another reproof, guidance, get involved, enlist involvement of others in helping people through the struggles of life. So it's not only addressing the person, but helping others become involved. So if you say at that point, it's Lashon Hara to go to, you know, that Rav, it'll be embarrassing for the person. But at that point, it's not a matter of embarrassing, it's not a matter of Lashon Hara, it's a matter of To'ala, so you generally want to help. Anything else? Okay, ladies, we shall have a wonderful, successful week of Siyata Deshmaya.